Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Roll pre-record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Okay, let's go. Super Talk Eagle Hour is on the air. Bob Getty in the Southern Bancorp studio and Daniel Stewart from Southern Bancorp joining me as a co-host for the second week. That check cashed.
Yeah, I'm back for another check, Bob.
Wow, man, I'm glad to have you here, Daniel.
Dima and Kelly better watch out.
Exactly. All right, we're going to talk to Stats McGee a little later in the show, but we're going to kick off every Wednesday as we do each week with Travis Creel. And I guess the guys are out there getting ready to practice before leaving for the East Coast. And, Coach, great weekend. Congratulations on a really solid weekend performance.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Obviously, this time of year, you got to find a way to win. And we did that. And doubleheaders in the Sun Belt are tough to sweep. So, after we got the bad weather on Friday, we knew it was going to be hard, but I thought our guys did a great job finding a way.
Yeah. Tell me your observation about the offense, first of all. Were you pleased with the offensive production? I know the first two games were kind of pitcher's duels. Team kind of busted out in the third game, but overall, what's your view?
No, I mean, obviously it wasn't our best. I mean, I thought we swung the bats really well the previous, I don't know, 5 to 7 games. We had a really nice weekend in Mobile. Coming off a loss Tuesday in New Orleans, where he hit 3 homers and a couple doubles, kind of felt like we had some momentum. And, Saturday, it wasn't pretty. It wasn't our day. And fortunately for us, it's that time of year where you got to find a way to win. And our pitchers kept us in as we made some really nice defensive plays and had some clutch hits at the end of the game. So, again, finding a way to win. And that sweep was huge to get us in second place.
Sure seemed like to me that the Golden Eagles are kind of plagued with this. You just hit the ball right on the screws, really hit it hard, but it goes right to somebody in the outfield.
Yeah, it feels like that on some days for sure. That's baseball. That's part of it. It is a humbling game. If you're result oriented and worried about your batting average over just quality at bats, you're gonna have a hard time in this game, especially at this level. Division I baseball is hard. So all you can do is hit the ball as hard as you can, take your best swing, and kind of let the chips fall. And like I said, I thought we'd been swinging the bats really well coming into this weekend, and looked our part again on Sunday.
Yeah, Coach, off the air, Bob and I, you were talking about Ben Higdon stealing third, and I can't help but think, did he call that on his own, or was that a call from the dugout there?
No, me and Higgs kind of have a Higgs is our best stealer of third base. He does a really good job of what's called a vault steal. I don't know if y'all see that. As soon as that pitcher picks up home plate, he takes a big shuffle to third. And we kind of have an unwritten rule where if I shake my head no, he's not allowed to. And if we make eye contact and I kind of give him the nod. And it just worked out where there's one out. If you're going to steal third, you want to do it with one out. You want to do it with a right-handed hitter up. Yeah. And obviously we were struggling to score and really needed to find a way to get to third base right there. And, thought that was the time to take the chance.
The last couple of years, stolen bases, I don't know where we rank nationally, but I know we don't have a ton of stolen bases every year, maybe 10 or 11 or so this year. Do the guys we have just not have the wheels to do it, or is it just kind of a different strategy we kind of are employing where we're trying to get guys moved around the bases with hitting versus trying to get stolen bases?
Well, last year was a unique team because we had a couple fast guys, but our couple fast guys were hurt. Whether people knew that or not, like Jake Cook couldn't slide head first. That's why he only had 8 attempts. But also, hitting 106 homers, you definitely don't want to make outs on the bases. This year is more personnel related. It's a math game for us. If the pitcher is a certain time to the plate and the catcher is a certain time to second base, and the math, then we'll run. Mm-hmm. And, this weekend, obviously not the most offensive weather. The wind's blowing in, which makes it harder for the catcher to throw. We thought we needed to, take a few more chances to get those guys in scoring position, knowing we weren't going to hit doubles and homers.
I thought too the call you made when you sent the you sent the runner home that actually won the game Saturday, and forgive me, I forget if it was the first game or the second game now. You sent Davis Gillespie. Close play at home, Gillespie scores, but am I right as a fan? That's just another example of when neither team is really getting a lot of hits, it's a really runs are hard to come by. You get that opportunity, you've got to force the opponent to make that play at home. And is that what you did, Coach?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I think their closer's in the game. He's really good. We're not going to have a ton of opportunities. And obviously, like I said, the wind blowing in, it's tough to hit a sack fly. You got to really get on the ball to get it deep to the outfield. And It's kind of weird. Before he hit that ball, I just kind of envisioned him hitting a double down the right field line and Dave scoring. And it was crazy. That's exactly where we needed him to hit the ball. Because I think any other double, in the gaps or down the left field line, I don't know if he scores, but Russo hit it right where he needed to.
So when you have to make that play and you're the third base coach and you see it's going to be close, do you take a deep breath? I mean, what are you thinking, Coach?
Well, you got to think ahead. You got to think ahead. If there's nobody out there, I don't send him. There's no doubt in my mind. If there's two outs, I don't even think about it. I'm sending them without even looking, pretty much. Well, with one out there, that's kind of the tweener, where if you stop him, you can still you score him with a sack fly or a ground out or things like that. With two outs, you need a knock, obviously. So that kind of makes you want to be more aggressive. But, yeah, you kind of see the play, and you know the arm. Believe me, I know the right fielder's arm. I knew the second baseman's arm. Going into it, and I knew it was going to be a really, really close play. And at that time, with how the game was going, I just felt the risk was worth it for sure.
I think it was the right call. If it makes you feel any better, I was never worried.
Okay, I'm glad you aren't.
Yeah. Well, Coach, Davis Gillespie's had an extremely successful year, and we all know he kind of had some struggles last year. So, if there's probably a comeback player of the year in my mind, it's definitely Davis Gillespie. Can you speak to maybe some of the adjustments he's made or some of the coaching techniques you guys maybe in the off season and in the fall that kind of got him back on track? Because he is certainly having a great year.
Yeah, Davis had a great 2024 for us. And, obviously I think he was our opening day three-hole hitter for us last year. And it just worked out where, he wasn't playing great. We put Urban and Higdon in there. And obviously with Pato and Cook, there's just he was an odd man out. And we hated it. Because we knew how much talent was there. But last year, he was just so in between. We called in between timing all the time. It was just kind of a little bit late on heaters, a little bit out front on breaking balls, and that really has to do with your foundation, your lower half. And that was kind of the emphasis, just getting his legs in the ground, getting his feet into the ground, having a strong foundation where he can be on time for a fastball, but also have that adjustability where we can wait back and still drive off the pitchers as well.
He's certainly put a charge into a few this year. I know one was 112 off the bat, 114. So we talk about him being a really strong guy. So he's really impressive to see, and just especially in today's world where talented guys have opportunities to go elsewhere. I'm glad he stayed and stuck it out, and it's good to see him doing well this year.
It speaks well. It speaks a lot about the character
it does.
Of that kid. Too.
It does.
Yeah, a whole lot about
the
character.
There's no doubt. He could have got in the portal and gone a lot of places, but he's a good one. He's a great kid and a great Southern Miss type guy.
Right. Coach, on a scale of 1 to 10, how good is it to have Bulls back?
Yeah, 10. I think, all year long it's just kind of been like one or two guys not going at the same time, right? I mean, it's always been, Bull was early and then, Higdon kind of in the middle and then Urban for a couple weekends. But I really do. I feel like we're in a good spot right now. I feel like, our old guys and our good players, this is the time. This is big boy baseball. This is where the men kind of separate from the boys and, we need them all going at once, and I think they're ready to do that. Yeah.
Just about a minute and a half left. I know you got to get back to practice, but what comment on the spectacular play at third base from Ty Long? It was amazing, really, to watch the release, the rifle arm, the athleticism at third base.
Yeah, he's a freak athlete. Ty's our best athlete. I think if you put him at any position on the field, he may be our best defender at any position. I'm talking center field, right field, left field, first base, anywhere. He's just he's a ball player. He's an athlete. He's got a bazooka for an arm, and it's really accurate. And he's a ball player, too. He's just savvy. He knows when to come get the ball. He knows when he can wait. He knows the runner's speeds, and he's a step ahead. And to have him over there this past weekend with Dre, having the hamstring issue was huge to to have him, I thought he made some plays that were pretty incredible.
And I think it kind of sets up for that DH role is maybe solved if you continue along that path, right? I mean, a lot of pluses on that move.
Yeah, I think so. I think it certainly could be for sure. You know, Ty's got so much range over there. He can cover the six hole. He can cover down the line and has plenty of arm. So he's been giving us quality at bats too. You know, if he does that like he did all fall in early January, in that nine hole, that could be a huge jump as well for the offense.
Well, Coach, we hope you guys have a great trip out east. We're glad that you're not having to fight the airlines this weekend. So congratulations on that. And we look forward to having you back on the show to talk about those three wins next Wednesday.
All right, guys. Appreciate it.
Travis Creel, everybody. I didn't think the kid stole third base on his own. We had a little debate where I was
surely sitting, not.
I didn't think
that's too risky.
Yeah, what kid's going to do that, right?
Exactly.
What would have happened if you'd have stolen third base and gotten thrown out and Corky Palmer had not approved the steal?
He'd just tell me to hit the track and start running. No question about it.
All right, stay with us, everybody. Eagle Hour continues.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. That opening segment sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit. Great place to cater your next event, whether it be for your church, your home, your business. Dickey's does a fabulous job of catering, and they can cater events from 10 people to 150 people. There's really no limit either way. Dickey's Barbecue Pit, be sure that you check them out. This segment is sponsored by our wonderful friends out at Eagle Tire West. That's where you'll find Matt Warren and his great staff. They sell premium Goodyear products, Toyo tires, Continental tires, any brand you want, you can get it at Eagle Tire West. Plus, full auto and truck service. They're next to Smith Motor Company, Highway 98 West. Family operated since 1985 and big Southern Miss supporters, Eagle Tire and Eagle Tire West. Daniel Stewart from Southern Bancorp is with me in the studio here today. He does our baseball analysis every week. And normally on Tuesday, I ask him to come in here and co-host the show with me today. All right, Daniel, break it down. What you're seeing right now from the Golden Eagle baseball team.
Well, you know, we kind of analyze as the year goes on. And, you know, we started hot. You know, we hit a slump. Are we where we need to be? As a player, I think that these guys are prepared. You know, whatever slumps they went through, you know, they grinded out. They're going to work through that. As coaches, I'm probably telling these guys, hey, look, you probably got the bottom two teams in the conference you're playing to end the year. That's good and it's bad. It's good because we should sweep these next two weekends. It's bad because we should sweep these next two weekends.
Right.
So you got to keep the players mentally prepared. You've got to go through all the routines that you normally do. Don't treat it any differently. Don't start looking ahead just yet to the end of the year. But I think, you know, Camden Clark being our Saturday starter is huge. Sundstrom looked great this past weekend, getting that rotation together. You know, bats were a little bit cold, but like you said, hit some on the nose, just right to somebody. So I really like where we are heading into the postseason.
All right, put this in perspective. You were a Division I baseball player. Three games, pitching staff, 45 strikeouts, four walks.
It's amazing. It's absolutely
That's
amazing.
That's 10-1.
Yeah, and, you know, like Friday night, Graydon and Colby, two pitchers. Saturday, Clark and Ock, two pitchers. Sundstrom on Sunday, I think he went six. And then
he looked really good.
He looked really, really good. So we used, what's that, four to eight pitchers all weekend? The bullpen should be pretty rested up.
And Sivley was, you know, solid as always when he comes in to relief. He's not spectacular.
Just gave up a couple of untimely hits there.
He's like the turtle in the race between the rabbit and the turtle. Right?
Well, I've said before, if Sibley has an outing that's not quite good, you better start him next Friday night. He's going to be lights out.
It doesn't matter.
He bounces back.
No, it doesn't matter. I think finally a pitching weekend rotation. I know it's late in the year, but it looks pretty solid, right?
Well, you know, better late than never. It still makes you wonder, you know, and we may not have really had much of a choice. We need to get that starting rotation. And Ken McClark obviously showed us that he can do it. I mean, 15 strikeouts, amazing day. But, you know, that would have been really risky had we not had a Colby Allen, I think. So we can transition Colby back to that stopper role, that closer role, and have a more complete pitching staff than, you know, having Graydon on Friday night, maybe Colby Friday and Saturday or Friday and Sunday. We look like a more normal pitching staff now than a Johnny Hull staff.
Could you throw Colby Allen, let's say, two innings on a Friday night and then bring him back
on
Sunday?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And in reality, this late in the year, his arm's in probably good enough shape. He could probably throw two innings every day, you know, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. They're not going to do that because they want to give other guys opportunities, keep everybody fresh. But, yeah, give Colby two or three on Friday night. He can come back on Sunday and throw two or three as well.
At the very first of the year, one thing that Coach Oz said to us was how important it would be for them to get Josh Ock back in Ock form.
Yeah.
That he would be really, really key, and I think he has stepped up to the plate.
I think so. You know, he definitely had struggles there a couple times out. But, you know, if you look at his performance over the season – and I don't care who you are. Everybody's going to have those rough outings. But the way he pitched on Saturday, it looked like we had Ock back.
Yeah.
I hope he can hang on to that.
All right, so somebody asked me this over the weekend, and I told him, I said, well, I'm going to ask Daniel when I see him. They were talking about Camden Clark.
Yeah.
They said, how can a kid look so bad in one outing and then the next outing come pitch like this?
You know, we were talking about that even with some buddies of mine this weekend. It's hard to put a finger on it. I remember when I pitched, I forgot who it was that I pitched great against, and it was a team that may have been like Louisiana Lafayette. They were just coming off a year, going to the World Series the year before. And then my next start was against, I think, Eastern Illinois. And Eastern Illinois just hit everything I threw at them. And I'm sitting there, I'm wondering at that time, like, what did I do wrong, you know? So sometimes – hitters just have you figured out. They do. And it doesn't take a lot of – like we talked about baseball being contagious. You get a couple of timely hits, and they're like, oh, we can get this guy. Pitcher doesn't get in his groove. You get him off track really quick. Camden Clark shut him down early on and the whole time. So he got in his groove before the hitters were able to get in their groove. I think he gave up one solo homer there.
Yeah.
I think the mentally – you don't prepare any differently. You just – the results are a little different based off the performance of the hitters.
Yeah. I found out last night that the great Nick Sandlin was released by the California Angels.
Oh, man.
And is now kind of, you know,
sure,
up there for whoever chooses to take him. 5 years he's pitched in the major leagues. He's had some, I think, some injury issues. How hard is it to stay at the level he was at?
It's extremely hard. I mean, just look at the guys that are, you know, in college now that are getting drafted, going to be, you know, rookie ball next year. Some of these guys are going to hit the major leagues really quick. Look at Connor Griffin's of the world. Every single year, there's a new crop of guys going into the major leagues that are fighting for your job. Mm-hmm. So to stay at the top is extremely hard. I mean, guys like Justin Verlander, Clayton Kershaw, all these guys that went to the pros, were successful, stayed in, were extremely hardworking, mastered their craft. They're the rarity. They're not the norm. The norm is to be, you know, in the pros 4 or 5 years, and then next thing you know, there's some younger, better person coming in taking your job.
Yeah.
It's extremely hard to stay at that level.
So if you pitch 5 years in Major League Baseball, and you know, up until this year, he's been good, other than the injuries, you've had a good career, fair to say?
Yeah, you know, you think about, hey, I've had a great career, but I'm probably 28 years old, maybe. You're still a young guy.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of players that have done similar things, and, you know, whatever you have to do to get back in shape, you can't kind of get a resurgence, and you find a team that maybe will take you, and you have some success there. I think he's still young enough and probably in good enough shape that he can probably land somewhere and make another run of it. But, you know, baseball players got to come to a, you know, mentally – you know, are you done or do you want to keep going? Because it is a grind. It's 162 games. It's traveling. It's away from your families. Do you think that it's worth the monetary benefits to be away from your family? Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, every baseball player wants to play baseball till they die. But there comes a moment in time where you've got to decide, is it time to hang it up or am I going to continue trying?
You get the impression that I'm not saying that it's this year, but the end is on the horizon even for Matt Waldner.
You know, Matt's one of those guys, it seems like every time you see a highlight, he's hitting one 450 feet, you know. But, he's kind of had a hard time finding that day-in, day-out spot in the major leagues. There always kind of seems to be somebody just ahead of him, and then they get hurt, and he comes up, does well, and then he goes right back down. He's another one of those guys who is probably trying to think through things and decided this is something he's going to try to continue to do. Or is he going to maybe start thinking this could be the end?
You know, those two guys bought houses side by side.
Did they?
With each other in Ocean Springs, Mississippi. Yeah.
How about that?
Side by side.
Minnesota boy that's going to Ocean Springs.
That's how good of buddies they are.
Yeah.
But what does that say about the skill level at the major league level when players, the caliber of those two kids, have to fight for their job?
Yeah, I was actually reading something the other day, and it was talking about the percentage of high school kids that get to play Division I baseball, then the percentage of Division I baseball players that actually get drafted or sign, you know, was it restricted free A or whatever, then the actual percentage of those that actually play one game in the major leagues. And then the percentage obviously just keeps going down, and it is minuscule. So that's why education while you're in college is extremely important. The chances of these guys actually making it extremely rare. So the players that you see play on TV every day are literally the best of the best. And we're not talking about just you at United States either. I mean, the Otanis, you know, the players from the Caribbean, they're not just USA players they're competing against. This, they're people from all over the globe now.
Yeah. So both of those kids, no matter how long their careers continue, they're rare air, aren't they?
Rare air, yeah. Somebody every day is coming for their job every single year.
Yeah, we've heard that from professional athletes of every sport. What's the biggest challenge? Looking over your shoulder at the guy trying to take your job.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. You know, and as a hitter, you're like, man, if I get into a slump, I don't have a chance to get out. I might get cut, and I'm done, and it's over.
Yeah.
There's extreme pressures.
You know, that even happened to Brian Dozier, as great a player.
Yeah.
He was a great Major League All-Star.
Oh, yeah.
And
Jonathan Papelbon, same thing. Just, you know, got a little incident and never really got that chance to go back and play. It's a common thing.
All right, we're going to bring Stats McGee on the show next. We're going to talk about the odds of that Hattiesburg Regional with one of Daniel's favorite teams projected to be the number two seed.
Ugh.
The Rebels. We'll be right back.
Southern Miss to the top.
All right, everybody, welcome back. DBAT sponsors the third segment of the program every day and has for years. Great place to take your children for baseball, softball training. Great pro shop down there as well. And a lot of camps throughout the summer. A lot of really cool things happening at DBAT. Lou Grinnells is the manager of that, a former great Golden Eagle. And we encourage you to check out all the things that are taking place all summer at DBAT on Hardy Street. And if you're hungry, where better to go, Daniel Stewart, than Movie Star Restaurant. Man, you can go eat a buffet and just eat till your heart is content.
Just go to eat and then go take a big nap.
Yeah, and you pointed out the meatloaf just a week ago.
I did.
Yeah, everybody thinks about the fried chicken and catfish, but the meatloaf, pretty wicked.
That meatloaf on Sunday is the ticket. That is where it's at. It's good.
Movie Star Restaurant, 25 years serving the Pine Belt, and we're grateful for their support of our show. Also, Forest Health, we're grateful to have them. They remind you to keep up with the most important player, that you get an annual physical, eat right, exercise, be sure your health is as good as it can be. Forest Health can help you with expert medical care closer to home. ForestHealth.com. Hey, we're delighted to have Patrick McGee back on the show. Not the New Orleans Patrick McGee, the Hattiesburg Patrick. Have you guys ever met one another?
I think we might have met once at a basketball game years and years ago. We are friends on Facebook, but I think maybe once we've met. I can't remember for sure.
He's a great guy. Clearly, you're the smarter of the two, Patrick.
No, I don't know about that.
Because you predict stuff, and I'm delighted to hear you tell me over the phone that, yeah, I was listening to the show yesterday, and I was listening to the show today. We appreciate that. We're really happy to have you a part of it now. You heard what Mark Etheridge said. They're projecting Southern Miss here with San Diego State, Campbell, and Ole Miss matched up to the Georgia Regional in Athens. Of course, these are all projections. But, Patrick, as things sit here today, where do you see the Golden Eagles?
Yeah, I had them as the number 15 overall seed, so just one spot lower than what D1 had. I actually had Ole Miss as a host, just kind of based on their RPI, still pretty good. You know, their quad one record, which is, you know, record against the the best teams in the at the top of the RPI. But I mean, you know, like he was saying, the history of teams that host with a 15 and 15 conference record is pretty short. I think Florida State one year went 14 and 14 and hosted. And I seem to remember maybe Florida hosting at 15 and 15, or maybe it was 15 and 14. But both of those teams went on deep runs in the conference tournament. So Ole Miss, you're probably going to need to win, you know, those last, or four of their last six. But I do have them as a host for now, I guess, since that was kind of one of the topics you guys brought up yesterday.
Yeah. I guess in an odd way, Southern Miss fans should be cheering for Ole Miss to win their last two series so that all three schools would have their own regional and the Golden Eagles would not have another Mississippi school here. Fair to say?
I think, yeah, I mean, I think so. I mean, well, not only that, but, you know, them winning would help your RPI because, you know, you play them twice. And but, yeah, I mean, I guess if you want to miss it, just the USM being the only Mississippi team in this regional, I think you would want Ole Miss to see if they can find a way to win for these next six. So,
Well, Patrick, off the air, Bob said last year you picked 63 of the 64 teams in the tournament. Really impressive. So, what's the secret sauce? Is it as easy as just math, or do you have something special that you kind of look at and apply to get those predictions?
No. I mean, it's not quite as impressive as it sounds, just because, I mean, they give you, you have 29 automatic bids. They give you that, and then they give you, 16 16 host sites. So by the time the actual selection bracket is announced, you have over 40 teams already locked in, and then you have another dozen or 15, 18 teams that are pretty much locked in. So it's really just kind of three or four teams that are kind of up in the air. But I mean, it's just kind of looking at what the committee's done in the past, getting a kind of a good feel for that, and then kind of just breaking down the resumes and predicting what you think the committee's going to do. So it's not quite as hard as it seems. Kind of looking back at what the committee done in the past.
He's very modest.
Well, you say your prediction is Ole Miss is going to host their own regional, which I love the sound of that. Who do you think the 2 and 3 seeds may be coming in here if Ole Miss does, in fact, get their own regional? Do you have any projections there?
I did. I had Oklahoma as the 2 seed in Hattiesburg just because of the way they do they're doing the seeds now, where the top 2 seeds will be paired with the bottom 1 seed. Then I had Oklahoma, I think, as my maybe second or third highest 2 seed. So that just makes sense from a competitive standpoint, not necessarily geography, but they would be one of the top 2 seeds. So I had them as the 2 seed. And then I had TCU as a 3 seed in Hattiesburg. TCU was one of my last 5 in. They were kind of safely in the field prior to this week, and then they went and got swept at Oklahoma State. So they're kind of on the bubble right now. Oh, and then I had the 4 seed was Niagara. Out of the Metro Atlantic Athletic Conference. I mean, it's kind of hard to predict the 4 seeds. I mean, you could certainly see someone like a Southeast Louisiana if they win their conference. Like Samford wins their conference. But, all those times, 4 seeds, you get someone you don't expect, like a Niagara or, Columbia last year, or Illinois, Chicago, teams like that.
All right, let's not get ahead of ourselves. What do the Golden Eagles have to do to guarantee them that home tournament?
I think certainly if you sweep these next 2 weekends, I think you would feel good about your chances heading into Montgomery. I think the problem is with these, remaining 2 weekend, you know, you should be able to stack up wins. The problem is going to be it's going to hurt your RPI. I mean, you're playing a James Madison team that I think after last night's loss, they're 170 in RPI. And Georgia Southern's RPI is around 210. So opportunities to win, but even if you win, you're probably not going to go up in RPI, and, you know, any losses are going to be pretty painful. So I think if you sweep, you'll be – these next two, I think you'll be in good shape heading into Montgomery. And then if you lose one, you may have some work to do in Montgomery. You might have to win two or three games. And then, you know, if you were to, you know, go 4-2, you know, you may have to make it to the finals or even win the conference tournament just because of what the RPI is, you know, could take a hit if you lose some of those games down the stretch these next 2 weeks.
So, you know, James Madison next, or I guess this weekend, and Georgia Southern next weekend, arguably the two weakest teams in the Sun Belt Conference. Even if we sweep them, like you said, it's going to be a hit to RPI. Let's just say we are not a regional host. Where do you foresee us being potentially? Because a lot of things could happen in these last couple of weekends. Do you think we go to a Mississippi State or an Ole Miss, or do we go somewhere different?
With the way, if USM does not host, I mean, they would probably be in that 17 to 20 range, which would pair them up with the bottom four hosts. So they'd be one of the top two seeds paired with one of the bottom one seeds. And, you know, I think State at this point has probably moved themselves into that 9 to 12 or, you know, maybe even that 5 to 8 pot if they finish the year strong. So you probably want to go to Starkville, if I had to guess. Now, if Ole Miss were to host, they could possibly be in that 13 to 16 pod. That would be an option if they were to host. And then Alabama could be in that 13 to 16 range as well. So I think if Ole Miss were to host, that would be an option. Alabama would potentially be an option. And then, you know, someone like Florida State. Florida State's kind of in that bucket as well. And all those three teams are, you know, within the 400 miles that the NCAA, you know, can send you on a bus trip versus flying, which they try to do if possible.
Yeah, just like to see us with at least within driving distance of where we go. Instead of flying across the country to a regional.
Well, Tuscaloosa
somewhere
wouldn't be bad, but Patrick, do you think that Alabama's forgotten about that 10-run loss they took here in the event we had to show up at their place?
Yeah, that and the regional last year.
I forgot about that one. They may be
a little bit upset about that.
I forgot about that last year. You're exactly right about that, Patrick. They lost that heavyweight fight.
And, yes, they did.
My guess is two in a row to us is not sitting too well with them. All right, so last question for me. Can the Golden Eagles secure a regional if they just win the last two series and not sweep them?
I don't think so, just because of what the RPI is going to do. I mean, if you were to, let's say you go 2 out of 3 this week, 2 out of 3 next week, I mean, the RPI would probably be around, you know, somewhere in that 15 to 20 range, depending on what other teams do. If that were the case, you know, you would probably have to go on a decent run in Montgomery to kind of work your way back into that probable host conversation. So I just think with the, you know, lack of strength of these next two teams, you really need to get at least one sweep and preferably two.
Right.
So
that makes sense.
You know, we're talking about the last two series, but you know, we've got conference tournament coming up in Montgomery here in 2 or 3 weeks. How much do you think that the, say, call it selection committee, how much success or not successful, you know, if we go up two in barbecue, or, you know, we'd maybe not win it. Obviously, there's a guaranteed bid at stake there. Do selectors look at how well you play in conference tournament to decide if you host or if you don't?
Yeah, I think in years past, they've kind of treated it as sort of like the 11th conference weekend. So they don't, you know, necessarily devalue it, but they don't put probably too much value on it. So it's something like, you know, if you play well, it'll help you. If you don't play well, then it'll hurt you. But I think the conference tournament, the committee has, you know, kind of found a balance in trying to weigh it. It's more of like just the 11th conference weekend versus like, okay, if you don't play well, we're not going to kill you over it. But, you know, if you do play really well, you know, we'll move you up a little bit. We're not going to move you up like, you know, 5 or 6 spots. So,
yeah. All right. We sure appreciate your input, Patrick. I think the three of us agreed that the easy answer here is to sweep the next two series. Is that fair to say?
That is fair.
All right. We're going to get you back on next week, see if things have changed. Is that good?
Yes. Okay. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Patrick. We appreciate it. Patrick McGee, everybody. Stats McGee, as Luke Johnson labeled him. And interesting stuff. But here's the bottom line. Just go win the daggum next.
Just go win.
Go sweep these two bad teams, right?
Just go win.
That's all you got to do. I say that's all you got to do. We'll be right back.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, MCS Home Center reminds you that no matter if you're working on your house, your lawn, or your garden, they've got what you need. They're located out on Highway 98 West. They're Hattiesburg's new improvement home center. Local folks eager to help you. 7329 Highway 98 West, and we thank MCS Home Center for all they do. Also want to remind you, if you've got gold or silver that you need to sell, looking for some cold cash, there's only one place to go. That's Jewel Masters, Highway 98 West. Now, don't be fooled by the Johnny-come-latelys. Nobody has been buying gold and silver longer than Marty Vick at Jewel Masters. You'll be treated with great respect. It will be very confidential, and you'll walk out the same day you walk in. You'll walk out with the cash in your hand. So keep that in mind. Great, great folks at Jewel Masters. Also, I want to thank our good buddies at Genesis of Hattiesburg for all they do. They are the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. And we want to remind you about the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast. You can hear it every day on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, or Alexa or Siri will play it for you. Oh, well, yesterday, men's golf coach Eddie Brescher was here and badly hoping that his team, when the field was announced today, would, for the first time, be invited to play in the NCAA National Tournament, and we are happy to tell you that the men have been selected as the number 11 seed in the Athens Regional. That news just broke just a few minutes ago. It will be the Golden Eagles' first appearance in the NCAA Tournament, and they secured that at-large selection after finishing third in the Sun Belt Tournament later last month. Daniel, you're a golfer. This is a great thing for the golf kids at the Southern Miss.
Absolutely. You know, I always said if I wasn't in college playing baseball, the next best thing would have been in college playing golf. Mm-hmm. The facility they've got at Hattiesburg Country Club is state of the art. Great course to play on and practice on. So, yeah, absolutely. Congratulations to these Southern Miss Golden Eagle golfers. You know, you can be athletic or unathletic and you know, either be good or not be good at golf. You don't have to be a big, strong, burly guy to be good at golf. It's an amazing sport.
Well, the facility that was constructed has made a big difference. It's made a big difference in recruiting, I think, the psyche of the team. How important are those sorts of things?
Well, you know, any athlete, when they're deciding where they want to go, is, hey, where am I going to be spending my time? And our golfers that come here can spend their time in a really great facility. If it's raining, they're indoors. They've got simulators. They can actually hit from a covered pavilion out onto the driving range if it's raining. So rain, sleet, snow, you know, whatever it is, they can get the practice in a very nice facility there at Hattiesburg Country Club.
These guys are shooting around 70, 75.
That's impressive.
How pretty good is that?
That's really good. You know, talk to my friends all the time. Most of us were athletes, and you know, as athletic as we were at one time, that doesn't make you good at golf. Golf is a very different game. I've seen guys that I outweigh by 75 pounds can hit it further than me. So the skill that these guys display is that can do those type of things is actually very amazing.
Well, congratulations to Coach Brescher and all.
Absolutely.
Of those
guys. Congratulations.
We're really happy for them. Hey, on a personal note, I want to remind everybody about the Legends podcast. This week's guest was born and raised in Macomb, Mississippi. His name is John Brady. And from Macomb, Mississippi, he got into basketball, ended up coaching at Samford for a number of years, had a lot of success, 10-year coach at LSU. And as my wife said the night I did the interview, well, he must be pretty good because at LSU, if you don't win, you're gone after the first couple of years. He coached 10 years at LSU, took the Tigers to the Final Four.
Nice.
And the Sweet 16. Two-time SEC Coach of the Year. From there, he went to Arkansas State, became the Sun Belt Coach of the Year, and now is the color analyst for LSU basketball and a member of the LSU Sports Hall of Fame. All of this started in Macomb, Mississippi. That podcast will be available tomorrow afternoon. My producer, Dima, is out of town right now, but he'll be back. We'll have it up tomorrow afternoon. It'll be available on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. If you get an opportunity, I sure hope that you'll check it out. It was a great interview with John Brady. Very impressive man. And, you know, just another example of people, Daniel, from Mississippi that go on to really
sport legends,
enjoy great sports success.
Absolutely. I mean, this area produces, I mean, countless people that go on to be premier players and coaches and just parts of these fantastic sports stories from South Mississippi. It's great.
It's a rough profession. 2 years after he took them to the Final Four, they let him go.
Hey, what have you done for me lately, right?
His team that he had in place after he left went on to win the SEC championship the next year, and those kids went to the new coach and said, we want Coach Brady to have a
ring. How about that?
Because he's the reason we're here. And the coach agreed, and LSU gave John Brady that
that
conference champ. So it's a great
thing to do.
Yeah, it's a good interview. It's very interesting. He's a really intelligent, really articulate man, and I think people will enjoy it.
Good.
I enjoy you, man. 2 weeks in a row now you've co-hosted with me. I appreciate that.
Well, you know, I may not have Dima's depth of sports knowledge, and I'm not wearing a quirky shirt like Kelly.
No.
But I've really enjoyed doing this, and but I miss those guys. It's always fun having them here.
Please don't start dressing like Kelly, Daniel.
I don't know if the bank would allow me to walk in.
I don't think they would.
With the Space Invaders shirt on.
I really appreciate you, man. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Bob.
We'll be back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Hope you'll join us. Until then, Southern Miss.
To the top. Into the future. Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping. Into the future.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.